Chairperson Rapporteur, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the group of legal experts, we would like to share some initial thoughts on the two questions posed by the distinguished delegates from Colombia and the United Kingdom, as referred by the Chairperson Rapporteur. The first question addressed to us was about the meaning of the term human rights abuse as proposed in the updated draft LBI. As it has been developed in previous sessions, including in the ninth session in 2023, the term was introduced in this negotiation to reflect a distinction in international human rights law between adverse consequences resulting from business activities, which would constitute human rights abuses, and those resulting from state actions or omissions in breach of their international obligations, including of a future legally binding instrument. The latter would constitute human rights violations. The reason for this distinction is that it would allow for the formal recognition under international human rights law of the adverse impact on human rights deriving from actions or omissions of a non-state actor, namely a business enterprise. The current draft of the LBI focuses on potential corporate legal liability under domestic law. For example, if a company fails to take adequate preventive measures and pollutes a water source, which consequently has adverse effects on the health of local populations, such an omission and the resulting adverse impact on the human rights of those populations would constitute a human rights abuse under the current terms of the LBI. A human rights violation could also materialize simultaneously if the state fails to adopt adequate measures to prevent the harm caused by business activities. Furthermore, there may be situations where human rights abuses by business enterprises and human rights violations resulting from actions or omissions from states may coincide, which will merit further analysis. For example, there are many cases of abuses by businesses and their personnel emerging in the context of violations committed by states, including situations of genocide, war crimes, or crimes against humanity. The guiding principles address examples of business abuses where there is some form of participation by the state in the commentary under Principle 4, including where a business enterprise is controlled by the state or where its acts can be attributed otherwise to the state. In conclusion, because of this distinction, it should be noted that human rights abuses and human rights violations have different connotations, including in the text of the draft LBI. We realize that states may have additional questions regarding the relationship between these concepts and how they should be addressed in the text, and stand ready to assist with further analysis. Turning to the question posed by the United Kingdom on what would constitute an urgent situation, we consider Mexico's proposal to delete the word urgent from Article 4.4 to remove the potential for ambiguity. In general, the concept of urgent actions relates to the irreparable nature of harm and the gravity of harm that individuals or communities may face, which leads to their need to seek relief on an expedited basis. However, should states wish to define which situations qualify as urgent, guidance may be found in relevant instruments of international and regional law. For example, the American Convention on Human Rights stipulates in Article 63.2 that provisional measures may be necessary to avoid irreparable damage to persons, which is the key element to define urgency. Furthermore, in its rules of procedure, the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights defines an urgent situation to be such where a risk or threat is imminent and can materialize, thus requiring immediate preventive or protective action. Human rights treaty bodies and special procedures both have provisions for urgent appeals and actions as well. For example, treaty bodies have the ability to take urgent action where irreparable harm would otherwise be suffered before the case is examined in the usual course. The common feature is that the committee in question may, at any stage before the case is considered, issue a request to the state party for what are known as interim measures in order to prevent any irreparable harm. Typically, such requests are issued to prevent actions that cannot later be undone, for example, the execution of a death sentence or the deportation of an individual facing a risk of torture. We are ready to provide the Chair Rapporteur with other examples if requested.